Did you know that your gut is directly connected to your brain and can contribute to anxiety, stress, and depression, which, by the way, can also impact your sexual health? So here's my secret weapon for gut health, Just Thrive Probiotic. Now listen up. Just Thrive isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is the only one that survives your stomach acid and reaches your gut 100% alive. All those others, the ones that come in fancy drinks or you gotta refrigerate, nope, that's not even a thing. This is the one. I've noticed significant changes to my overall health. Like, this might be TMI, but I'm way more regular and my skin is glowing. Think of Just Thrive like your personal gut gardener. It maintains the health of your gut by weeding out the bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and then replenishes the good, making it a total game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, even your mood and sexual health. And if you want to check out my episode with Just Thrive's founder, Tina Anderson, we talk all about how gut bacteria plays a crucial role in your overall happiness, including your sex life. Because a healthy, balanced gut means less stress and more energy. So if you want to check it out, I'm offering a deal for my listeners. You can save 20% off site-wide at justthrivehealth.com with the promo code SEXWITHEMILY. That's 20% off on the probiotic that's truly changing lives and making waves in the wellness community. Everyone's talking about it. Don't just take my word for it. Try it for yourself. Go to justthrivehealth.com. Use promo code SEXWITHEMILY for 20% off. Imagine a toy so iconic it practically wrote the playbook for pleasure. Allow me to introduce or reintroduce you to the Magic Wand, aka the Cadillac of Vibrators. The Magic Wand Original is a trusted companion in the journey of joy, whether it's your first time chasing an orgasm or you're looking to give your partner a spine-tingling erotic massage. The Magic Wand should be your go-to with powerful rumbles and several different rhythms and patterns. It's no wonder the Magic Wand has scooped up accolades like Vibrator of the Year for decades. I'm so enamored with mine, I've customized my bedside table just to keep it within arm's reach at all times. But the magic doesn't stop with the original Magic Wand. The Magic Wand family has grown over the years, offering a variety of models to suit every lifestyle. Go cord-free with the Magic Wand Rechargeable. Embrace compact power without compromising intensity with the Magic Wand Mini. I love this mini. Or the Micro, which is just teeny tiny and really powerful. Or enjoy a range of sensations with the Magic Wand Plus. Each model delivers the same powerful orgasmic rumble that made the original a legend. So are you ready to experience the magic? Visit sexwithemily.com/magicwand and discover why the Magic Wand continues to enchant pleasure seekers around the globe. That's sexwithemily.com/magicwand. Magic Wand, more than just a vibrator. Hey everyone, thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Have you ever wondered what it was like to be a lady in the street but a freak in the sheets? On this show, I'm joined by returning guests and fellow Lady Freaks Grace Parra and Jen Partles of the Lady Freaks Comedy Show.
Yeah,
babies. We're getting into all things sex, masturbation, fantasies, what kind of penis Grace saw the other night, what makes the best sex, and even the worst. Enjoy. Thanks for listening. Sex toys are kind of like potato chips. You start with one and you immediately want more. If that sounds familiar, I want you to head over to your local Hustler Hollywood store. There are Hustler Hollywood stores all over where you'll find an assortment of erotica, sexy lingerie, and of course, the best sex toys on the market. Each store is filled with an attractive, eye-catching displays with all the top intimate products on the market, and their knowledgeable and friendly staff are there to help with any questions you might have. Whether you're shopping with a partner or for yourself, if you want to take your sex life to the next level, Hustler has all the products you need to get there. So in the words of Hustler, sex is free. We sell the accessories. So mention Sex with Emily when you check out. Get 20% off your purchases. And if you're an online shopper, no problem. Hustler's got you covered. You go to HustlerHollywood.com. Use code EMILY20 at checkout and you get 20% off your first order. That's HustleHollywood.com, code EMILY20.
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's got to have her standards. Oh, my.
Do women know about shrinkage?
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
You know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com where you can check out our podcast and you can subscribe to it. It's so easy. You get there, you're like, boop, subscribe. 2 a week, we do 2 podcasts a week, and then you'll like never miss an episode. You'll be all caught up with what's happening with like Menace's life and my life because it's so scintillating.
Yeah.
And one more thing that I got to tell you because then I won't bother. Well, I might bother you with this again. It's not even a bother. This is actually for your pleasure that you should follow us on Twitter and Instagram and Snapchat at Sex with Emily because I think it's educational and entertaining. And you're listening because you want to have better sex and relationships. And we dole some of that out on our social media.
I think the Snapchat is very entertaining because it gives you behind the scene. You know, you've been doing this podcast for like 10 years.
Right. And no one
ever gets to see the behind the scenes on how it all works.
Exactly.
You know?
Like how just all did a blowjob spray shot before to make sure our throats were coated.
Don't people want to see that?
Right.
Also how very attractive you both are.
Oh yeah.
Thank you.
Very attractive.
Thank you. Well, how about you guys? How about our guests who are so sexy? We were just saying before the show, they brought it.
Yeah.
Like, you guys, you guys always look hot.
Well,
Grace and Jen.
I mean, you don't see me before 11 a.m., but I appreciate
right.
that.
No, me neither. I don't even talk to anyone before noon, actually, which is why I miss Menace's morning show. But it's a podcast, so that's good. But you guys look great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Do. And thank you for coming in again. We had so much fun the last time you guys were on. Menace, I'm sorry you weren't here for that show, but it was the like anal sex show. But we had a round table of women, and we didn't just stay with anal. We talked, but you guys are just very like open and fun.
Do you
fun.
Have a small recap of that? Was it just about how guys try to talk you into having anal sex, or was it?
Yeah, it was like the first minute, maybe. Yeah. What was it called so people can listen to it?
Oh, yeah. I don't remember what it was called.
I don't remember, but it was really, it was awesome. So we have to have them back, and they've also had me on their show, The Lady Freak Show. Mm-hmm. Which introduce yourselves.
Sure.
A little more.
Well,
you guys can do it better than anyone. Hi, Grace.
Oh, hello. This is
Sexy
Grace. Sexy Grace. Hi, I'm Grace. Jen and I have been doing a show called Lady Freak for a little over a year now. It is our pride and our joy, and it's basically a sex-positive comedy talk show by, for, and about women, although not exclusively, especially since lately we've been expanding that definition. But it basically is a forum for us to talk candidly and intelligently about some topic within the realm of sex and dating and romance, and how all those topics specifically relate to women. So we've talked about everything from technology and sex to toys and sex to intimacy and problems therein. We're talking about religion and sex.
Yeah, we just had our last show that we had. Oh, hi, Jen Bartels. Yes. This is Jen now.
Mm-hmm. Hi, Jen.
Hi, hello. And we just talked about sex workers and like prostitution, and we had, you know, real sex workers on our panel, which was like so amazing.
Right.
Are these just live shows or are they online, video,
it's a few
audio?
Different
what
things. We're primarily doing the show live right now, although we also are starting the comedy festival circuit. So we're going to be at Out of Bounds in September in Austin, which is awesome. I'm also on the nightly show on Comedy Central, and my boss, Larry Wilmore, is first of all the greatest, and second has been a guest on our show, which is awesome, and have then had Jen and I on panel to do a topic about prostitution and decriminalization.
Oh my god, I want to see it.
Yeah,
that's
we'll send it. So we actually did it on the nightly show on Comedy Central too, which was awesome, and that was very recent.
Guys, congratulations, bringing sex to the people have to understand more.
Wait, talk about it.
Okay, but, I'm trying to follow. I'm a little slow. So you want to legalize prostitution?
No.
Okay.
The idea is that prostitution should be decriminalized and not legalized. Right. It should follow what's called the Nordic method, or the Nordic model, I think is what it's called, which is basically like what Sweden and a lot of other.
So what happens if you get caught doing prostitution?
Here now?
No. But I'm just saying with this, what you're trying to promote.
Oh, they turn a blind eye, basically.
Okay.
The situation is that if you, let's say, are held at gunshot right now while you're in the middle of like a prostitution.
Held at gunshot. Not at gunpoint, guys. Gunshot.
Right. Gunshot. Gunshot. That's right.
You're already been shot.
The bullet is like midair. Ooh, hi.
Yeah.
Sorry.
The idea is that basically there are very few people, government-wise and medical-wise, that you can turn to if you are a prostitute who is under any sort of duress.
There's no rights right now for people, and that's their own choice if they're wanting to utilize their body for business. And right now there's nothing protecting them. The thing that we learned with Lady Freak is that there is a difference between decriminalization and legalization, which I didn't know going into it, which is, I think, a big part of the show overall is like learning, like, I go into it knowing what I know. It's why we always have a sex bro. That's why we've had Emily on.
Oh, Emily's the greatest. We love you.
That was really fun.
Yeah. But always having someone
I'm gonna
that
go on the
really
road
knows.
With you.
Yeah. Okay,
actually, yes, we can make that happen.
Okay, good.
We'll do like a have a big.
But that's
bus.
Cool, you guys. You guys are getting it out there. They can find you all. We'll have all the information on our website. But it's Lady Freak.
Ladyfreakcomedy.com.
I love it. Okay. Oh, and I found the last show you guys were on, which was honestly one of our most popular. Mm-hmm. I think it might have been our top show of the year.
Oh.
Ladies Talk Sex Backdoor Secrets.
Oh, that's the one.
People love the anal shows. What am I going to do?
But then it's like just... every guy's obsession, anal and threesomes.
Are those your obsessions?
My obsessions, maybe when I was in my early 20s, yeah.
Right. Probably.
What are your obsessions now?
Good question.
Getting rest. And then...
a good 8 hours and a light Riesling.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I have those obsessions anymore. I would actually really have to think about it. But right now, well, I can't.
Well, the clock is on right now. So by the end of the podcast, we're going to come back to that.
So what's your, obsessed with,
what are you obsessed with?
I don't know.
What are you guys obsessed with sexually right now? Anything going on?
Honestly, rest sounds real good right now.
Right?
So the last time I was here, I was just going through a divorce, and now I'm fully divorced.
Ooh.
So now, I don't know. I feel like I'm in, the sex peak. When is the sex peak? Is there a sex peak?
There's
a lot
of different... They say that it is, women in their late 30s, early 40s. Mid-30s to early 40s.
I was going to say, not there yet. So
okay, good.
As I touch my face.
Okay, good. So
34.
Yeah. That's not where they would say the peak is, but I do think that... But the truth is, I think that as women mature and we get to know our own bodies better and we... know what we want. We're not afraid. We're not just giving some guy a blowjob because we think he wants it. We don't care about our orgasm. Mm-hmm. You're like, hey, I know myself. We're confident. And so the sex might feel a lot better.
Yes, but I also think there's times I'm in my car and my little nubbin clit starts going...
You just got an email?
It's a squirrel making a cute noise, but it's my vagina. And it's me wanting sex. I crave sex. And it's usually mid-morning and early afternoon. I'm like, I would love to... be filled with a dick right now and have an orgasm.
Wow. You never had these thoughts before.
No, I'm having very good sex. I was going to say that there's an impression.
There's a correlation. When you are having a lot of sex, when you're having good sex, you want more. I'm almost in the opposite. I'm like Sahara Desert, population Grace Michelle Parra. with one exception, which we'll get into in a second. Two exceptions, actually, I should say. But otherwise, since I moved to New York in October, it has been not great. And now it's just a cycle now. It's God, I'm on the hamster wheel of no sex, and I guess...
Yeah. Are you accepting of it? Or are you just kind of into it?
I am to an extent because I'm super productive and happy in other ways. I really am very fulfilled career wise and friend wise and all these other non sexy.
Cut to me and I masturbate in a parking lot.
Well, I was going to say, do you use your Vesper necklace? I gave her the Crave Vesper necklace last time, and you really do. You ever just pull over? It goes bloop, and then you pull over and the vibrator on your neck.
No, I've used it before, and let me just say this: I've washed it because I'm wearing it on my neck now. I don't want to be like, oh, I just rolled out of bed.
Hey, where's that been?
And I'm like, cool, it's a vibrator, watch out. I use it in my bedroom, but it's nice to know you can travel with it, which is nice.
Yeah.
If you're on a sexy vacation and you just don't want to bring your rabbit or something.
Exactly. It's a
good conversation starter.
It is a great conversation. It turns on by mistake.
Do you guys want potato skins? I'm wearing a dildo. Right,
exactly. I do have a question though about you're saying about New York, because we're originally from San Francisco, and they always say the guys are pusses and they're too shy and they won't go up to women. And then you hear about New York, guys are just super direct in your face, telling you what they want.
I've heard that too.
But you haven't found it?
The thing is that kind of personality would not appeal to me. Uh-huh. I do like a guy to be direct by all means. But first of all, I've been working so much, I haven't been going out to bars and clubs and even events that much. But I find that guys in San Francisco and LA are more of a happy medium. You can find aggressive guys here on the West Coast, but I don't know. There's plenty of guys who are really nice who I'll go up to. I have no problem with that.
Really? Yeah, in New York or here or anywhere.
Here.
The aggressiveness in New York, I think you're speaking to, only because I grew up a little bit in Staten Island, is more cultural. I think there are certain types of men that are aggressive, like Grace is saying. Mm-hmm. But I think in general, when you get to New York City, like Manhattan, people are shut-ins a little bit.
Yes.
They're either working, stressed, or drinking till 4 a.m. But I feel like people are more outgoing in LA.
Yeah. The drinking till 4 a.m. thing is really interesting. I've noticed since I cut back on going to bars, dating just doesn't happen for me in New York, because that is how dating.
That's how you 2 a.m. Meet someone.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dating. In quotes here.
Uh-huh. Right, which is now I'm at the age where that's just not as fulfilling to go get fucking, hammered at some bar with some random dude.
I thought you meant hammered like jackhammered, but you meant hammered and then jackhammered.
Either, honestly.
Right. Yeah. That's what I thought.
And I know I sound like an old man, but it's just so late.
It's so late. It's so late.
I don't know, back in San Francisco, everything shut down 12:30.
That's reasonable. That's
still
still,
you can't eat past noon, midnight at noon. Midnight in San Francisco, like nowhere to eat, nothing to do.
Go give that digestive system a rest.
But you feel okay. So, but here, but I also wonder if it's like you were saying in your life, like you weren't, Jen wasn't having great sex before. Now you want, and now you, Grace, maybe in the past you were having great sex, but your career is great and your friends. It's like all the balance in life.
It's so hard to find balance. Do you guys have balance? I mean, Jen and I talk about this all the time.
I don't. I'm working on it. I don't know if I'll, I think I'd be bored.
I don't think, I think a big thing I've realized lately through a lot of therapy and vodkas is you're always striving to find the balance, but that is why we live, is always juggling to find the balance and just throughout it, give your best, don't be a dick. But you're always trying to find
That's true.
Yeah, well, although, well, go ahead.
No, no, I was just saying the balance, it sucks because like, yeah, like career-wise, everything can be awesome, friends-wise, and then you're not having sex. And then when I'm like unemployed and like figuring out what I'm going to do next in my life, I'm getting laid constantly, you know?
Same. Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it.
Yeah, exactly.
The times where I've been getting laid the most, I have nothing going on.
It might even be how much you apply your time, though, because I think there is application of specific time and focus and attention. You're putting more time and stuff on your career, and so that's hard to balance, and you also trying to spend the same amount with a man.
Because that stuff is more... It's fresher to me. Like the career stuff that's happening is fresher and more exciting than sex.
You're also in control.
I'm also in control. Yeah, and I don't know, with sex, it's just like I'm at a good place right now. I've done a lot of crazy things or whatever. What I have not done has been in like a very long-term relationship with somebody that I love and had really good sex with that guy. And that, I think, is the next frontier. But that doesn't come going to a bar at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Right. I mean, it could.
It could.
But it could happen just from, I get it. Like, I think there is a part in your life where you have to spend time on your career, getting to, you know, building your career, which builds your confidence, which gives you independence. Mm-hmm. And it's such a passion. And you both are entertainment, not an easy business. And it is hard to do it all. I've totally had that where the last 10 years I've been working on this.
Yeah, so, I want to know about your sitch.
No, but it's the same thing. Like, I haven't been prioritizing dating in a while. And I was dating someone, we broke up like 4 months ago, and I was like, this is the longest, I'm not even interested. Like, I'm not even nothing. And I was saying, like, I don't even remember to masturbate. Like, I walk in my house and there's like literally like 5,000 via dildos going like, hey, you got to try me out for Tuesday's blog. I'm like, oh my God. Because, and then we were saying, like, if I'm not having sex, which I kind of like, because then I've been working on myself, like therapy, doing more yoga, doing more whatever, but not thinking about sex. But then I'm also not turned on as much. But then the more that I start to masturbate, or when I am having great sex, I want more sex, like you were starting to say. Mm-hmm. But it's a balance for me also. It's a health thing. Like, I think that if I don't even if I'm not having sex, I need to masturbate. Like, I realize that that's like off for me, because I'll just go, I won't think about it. Yeah. I won't think to do it. And it's actually really good for your health, like your physiology, for women to like release that orgasm. So it's funny how we are, because guys are like, what are you talking about? Every day I get hard, I masturbate, it's over. Like, you have to. But when I make myself, masturbate today, like I will do it because I feel better. So it's all important. So right now, no, I'm not really having sex with anyone.
I tried to last night, and this is a rare instance.
Have sex or masturbate?
Masturbate. Okay. And this is a rare instance where I was, just I fell asleep like 10 seconds into attempting.
It was turned
just
like, yourself off.
I sure
you're tired.
Did.
You
I
turned yourself off and then turned yourself on.
Does that happen to you guys where you just get, you're shy and you're so sleepy?
I've been like, I wake up and then a vibrator and then the house, someone comes over and it's like sitting in the middle of my bed, or the housekeeper. Yes, that happens. I've done everything when it comes to sex toys and packing them inappropriately and all that. But I want to go back to one thing here, Jen, that you said. So you said right now your clitoris is like speaking to you in multiple languages, and before it wasn't because you weren't having great sex because you were married.
I don't know.
Not because you were married.
Yeah.
But you just weren't having great sex.
Yeah, there wasn't that physical connection anymore.
But I want to hear about when you say you're having great sex right now, can you explain to me what that means?
Yes.
Can you break that down for me?
I think for me, it means, it's a few things. Oh, here we go. I think for me, I do think dick size isn't the only thing that matters, but I think that a good full penis going into my, you know, I would say
half sizes here.
You know, I think I maintained a fairly nice tight canal. I think that that feels good. And I think that like when, and it, I'm just lucky that that's the case right now. And
it's a boyfriend or a,
saying. Yeah. And then I also think like there's a connection, like even if it's eye contact, like there's been guys I've had sex with where I'm like, our eyes are both closed.
Intimacy.
And there's just this almost like vulnerability. You don't want to go there. So you go in your head to come, and it's like, oh, I came so good. Where'd you go? Where'd I go?
Who was here?
What happened? So I think that like connecting, and then also not being afraid to try things. Like we try things now. Like we try, we, you know, there's
they held hands.
we rewatch Chopped. No, but you know, there's a few things that we're not afraid to try, and I think we're open to try them, and that's sexy.
Give me an example of the last thing you tried. I'm just curious what you what that means.
Okay, I think that one of the things that we tried last was a little bit of choking.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I tried that.
Choking
yeah.
is so huge right now.
Choking's yeah, all the rage.
It's right. So I mean, big. I don't know. Maybe he got a memo like try choking with her tonight. But I was like at first
it came from Pornhub.
Oh, no,
definitely.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah,
it's okay.
I think
that's... it's okay. Choking questions we never used to get, and we never used to get. Deep throat questions 10 years ago.
Really?
Wait,
sex has changed. Oral sex, deep thing, right. Blowjob, deep throat. We're always like, how does my girlfriend, how do I get her deep throat? And how do I choke?
Guys fetishize that. Yeah.
Do.
Yeah.
It's trending on YouPorn now.
Oh. Right.
Okay, awesome. Wait. So you tried the choking and it was
good. I mean, at first, because it's me and there's this sexy, like, I think feminine side. And I think it's always trying to balance itself with my comedic side because that's just who I am.
Right.
So there, you know, we're doing this and I'm like, oh, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, you like, oh, but you're right though. Am I doing it too much? Is it a jugular? And I get worried.
So
I don't want to
choking him or yeah. also vice versa.
Vice versa. Both. Oh, but, okay. but a little bit of both. But
a little switching.
Yeah. I'm totally down to always go where someone else goes. Like, I think that's how I feel safe in that
space.
I've
never choked a guy. I have had it.
I just don't want
to
kill him. I just don't want to be that David Carradine thing or whatever. I don't want that to happen. So, but then I got into it and I was like, no, we trust each other enough that if this goes too far, then we can back it up. So we just were vocal. But there was a brief moment.
That's safe.
Tuna.
That's super sexy. Right. So okay, that's good. What's it like? How about you? Well, Grace, I know you're not having sex right now. But well, you are.
Well,
a little bit. Little dalliances.
There was a dalliance. There have been a couple dalliances this year. One incredible with a friend of mine. Both these guys were friends. One is a friend of mine. It was really just, it was awesome. Another guy more recently.
Wait, is this a friend that you've known for a while and then you just slept together, but you'll still be friends?
Yes. And we are still friends. Happens. Yeah. It's really lovely. It was, you know, it was the situation where he watched one of our shows live. And it was a really big turn on.
Oh, because you're then, sexy little vixens, you. Okay?
Sure.
Is this soap?
This is
Soapy Soaps?
Soapy Soaps.
Soap Beard?
No.
God. We gotta know.
No. This is
They got code names?
Oh my God, they're whispering.
Sorry. Just in case.
Oh, there was a pickle.
Oh, wow. All right.
That's pretty dead on.
This guy, he really liked the show. And you know, he knew that we did the show, but hadn't gone to see it. And that weekend, we slept together. And then we actually spent more time talking about the sex that we had. Just like analyzing it and talking about what worked and what didn't and how like
after
on. Yeah afterwards and we
like
did
a play by play
and it was awesome. It was completely sober and it was so present. I loved it.
So how did you, what made it great, what made it so good, and then what was the play by play? I mean, I just always want to know when people say I had the best sex, like,
right, well,
what
this,
does it mean?
This guy is he's an actor. He's very like takes very good care.
Is he famous?
Of
what's his name? Can we Google? Okay.
What's his IMDb?
He's just a really attractive guy to begin with. I mean, for me, I at least
very
think
good
he's
looking.
Very,
yes, he is very good looking.
So there was that. There's the fact that we've been friends for a long time. We'd gone out on some dates, hadn't slept together, but had spent some time together, so we knew each other. Also, we live in different places, and so this was a time where it was like, oh, it's kind of now or never.
Because you're in Newark, right?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, so that also sort of fueled the fire a little bit. And I think I really like the fact, first of all, I respect his work, and he had, you know, gone out of his way to come see us perform and clearly respected what I do. And that's a turn on.
That is
too.
A turn on. And
you
he saw your
know.
Work and he thought like, wow, you're really talented. You're really like sexy and hot and good at what you do.
Yeah. All those things, you know, this is something that Jenna and I talk about with her current situation too. It's there's no situation. Bigger turn on than to have your partner love what you do.
Yeah.
Champion. Someone that's not intimidated by you, but that's just like, I'm a fan, not a fanboy, but I'm a fan and I'm a supporter. And so like, especially when people come see our show, it also cuts out the middleman and that bullshit dialogue you have to have. When the show, when Lady Freak is done, you know a little more, you're more educated, but you're also turned on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when that thing happened,
and you're like, I'm ready,
show,
game over.
Grace was like, let's go. And I think it opened that dialogue quicker because we're not afraid to go there and make you feel like included.
Yeah.
Do you feel though, now that you're doing the Lady Freak show and the sex is so out there, that guys might just want to sleep with you because you're the Lady Freaks?
You know, oh, that's, I have... I don't know. I think there is probably a subsect of guys who think like, ooh, they're like fucking fluid or whatever.
Or who see our pictures and think like, oh, titties on a, you know, titties on a screen and they do comedy. And I'm like, well, Google a little more because.
Which is why I think we should change those posters. But something to talk to, to you guys about too. I'm looking at your poster right now and it's so sexy, but like classy.
Classy.
And I try to keep it classy at least in
my office.
Ours look
like we're 2 steps away from jizz in the cheek.
Yeah. 2 steps.
Which is actually, you know, the show's doing really well. So, but clearly you're not going to do that, but
you can't change marketing.
I'm just curious because what
I was just saying a joke.
Because I can't I've had those I wonder that too sometimes, or people ask me that question all the time because of what I do, but I'm just like, you just know, like if a guy's with me, I'm gonna be with sex, I would know that.
I think so,
just because it's the sex thing.
There is the flip side too, which I think might also be happening maybe in equal proportions, where guys are like, you're not gonna like talk about me, right? Or you're not gonna like which it's like, I would never violate anybody's privacy. It's all about making sure that, you know, you can be honest about your anecdotes, but keep it within a realm where people can't like Google or see pictures or whatever, you know.
I'm really big on like keeping my personal. And also my persona when we go on Lady Freak is a heightened version,
right?
So there's so many things that when I'm discussing it, it's not that it maybe hasn't happened, but I might dilute or marry the truth with different elements, so you don't know everything about me because I am still a person.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not just like somebody that's like wearing a tight shirt and has a loud mouth, like
right,
no, exactly, that's true. I mean, I get right, same thing. People don't understand, like, we're performers, but it's real. Like, we're not, like, playing in a character, but it's...
Right, it's all rooted in reality.
Do you really want to hear about, like, how I had a headache yesterday? And, like, in a car accident, and I took off the left side of my Mini Cooper, and...
Oh, no.
So boring, though. Do you really want to hear it? No. Okay, so what do you guys... So I think we also talked about... So you're both in relationships now, so I was even going to... You're not in a relationship.
I'm not.
So what about... Because I'm getting stuck on things you're saying because they're so good. Grace, when you said that you did the play-by-play breakdown after.
Yes.
What happened in that conversation? Did you learn something? Was it...
Yeah.
You surprised? But he was like, I loved how you sucked my penis. And then your clitoris was all blossoming like a rose. Like,
well, first of all, he made me squirt for the first time in my life. I should probably
bury the lead. Right. Okay.
I forget. I can't believe I forgot that.
I can't believe it either.
Yeah. Wow. Jesus.
So he made you squirt how?
Yeah.
During intercourse or finger?
A finger.
Okay.
Finger. Yeah. Yeah. And I had not experienced that before. And we've talked. I think we might have even talked about
this. I'm sure we did. We've talked about squirting.
Of course.
I don't know. Probably.
It was the first time that happened. So I had a lot of questions, and he was like, you know that happened, right? And I was like, yeah, oh my God, how, what the, and then we
did you have an orgasm at the same time you were squirting?
Yeah. It wasn't as, I guess I was expecting like some sort of seismic earthquake adjacent orgasm. It was not quite that. It was an orgasm, but it was mostly just like this rush of fluid that, again, it doesn't, by the way, actually squirt out of you like a geyser. Like,
no, it does not.
It does, but
in porn it can sometimes, but...
In porn, it definitely does.
Right.
But this was not the case. However, there's a different feeling.
Yeah.
There's a flow. It definitely feels like pee. You've squirted before, right?
No. I feel I was almost about to, but I was like, I have such anxiety. I was like, no, this is definitely piss.
Right.
Something might be going on. But then I've heard like, no, there's that pressure, that feeling. That's the same feeling. I just was like, it was so new in the relationship. I was like, I'm not trying to piss in Palm Springs on you.
Right.
So we pulled that back and I just came clit style.
Right. That's good. Is that how you mostly orgasm? Clit?
Clit. Total clit.
Total clit only.
I guess in this case, this was not clitoral. Actually.
Well, right. That was more G-spot.
Yeah,
what about you?
Blended. I'm more of like a go-to clit, but I've learned how to have a G-spot orgasm.
Now, I want to know women about that.
Oh, God. Hello.
Because I want to learn that. I want to learn how to have
What's
orgasms.
What's the best way G-spot wise? Because I know the best way clit wise is just let me hop on top, let's look at each other, and let me rub it down as your dick's inside.
Right. Exactly. So the clit's easy, right? That just happens for women. All, you know, usually it's the first orgasm they have. And the problem with the G-spot is that so many women assume because they can't, they've never had one, all the penises that have been inside them, they're like, it won't happen, or it won't happen with my vibrator. So they just say, it's not possible. But the thing about the G-spot is the best way to find it is with your fingers, actually, or your partner's fingers. And it might take you like a few weeks, a few months of masturbating, like a few times a week where you're just like, so it helps to knock out the clit one, which you guys I know are really good at.
Cross it off the list.
check clit. Because once your clitoris, you know, once you have that orgasm, like the whole area becomes engorged.
Right.
Right. Because it's all kind of connected and it's easier to find the G-spot. So it kind of swells inside and you know where it's like, I'm like showing you guys.
No, yeah.
It's like,
so guys,
two
she
fingers
is spread
in.
Eagle right
oh my God,
now.
Where's
with
our vulva?
On.
Where's our vulva puppet? But you stick a finger or two inside, and it's 2 inches inside towards the vaginal wall, and you do like a come hither motion. Uh-huh. So it's like, and we've got also, if you guys are listening to this, it's sexwithemily.com. We have so many blogs and posts and diagrams. Podcasts and diagrams. But you stick it inside and you just keep applying pressure. So it's not like this. Look, this is, what'd you name it, Madison? My vulva puppet?
Lola.
This is Lola.
Hi.
This is Lola the vulva puppet. I would like to have a little clitoral orgasm today.
What do you be?
I love this.
Okay, so stroke the clitoris. Mm-hmm. No. Mm-hmm. So then you put your fingers inside. Okay, well, this is actually works. So you go 2 inches inside, so like this. And it's like right up here. Okay? Mm-hmm.
What should it feel like?
It feels like a different texture, and it's a raised bump, kind of like a walnut texture.
Ooh.
Right? And you'll feel it and you'll Omega just start. Threes.
So find that nut.
Find that nut and you just keep applying pressure to it. Now, it might feel like you have to pee.
Yeah.
And you might. That's okay. But a lot of times it just means you're going to have an orgasm.
Now, that's what happened in Palm Springs.
Yes.
He found the nut. And he was trying to pull it from the tree. And I literally was like, oh, if you pull it from the tree, it's going to rain. That's exactly how it happened. And I was like, Palm Springs is a desert. We're good.
That's what I
should have just let him pull it up.
But you're so close.
You can
make it happen. Oops. Now.
So that's it. You're close.
So much sex happens in Palm Springs.
I was there.
What else do you do? You drink day drinks and then you have lots.
Exactly. Yeah.
I've never been to Palm Springs. Maybe I have to go. That's where Grace gets her groove back.
That is where. Yeah.
And the other thing, one more thing, and then I want to go to Palm Springs sex because I just went there and didn't have any. Mm. But that's a good story. That also the thing that helped me. Because I really want to tell you is that doing my Kegel exercises like right. that, I swear to God, you know, you were talking about, I love your sound effects with your clitoris driving, like, like I feel like when my Kegel muscles are strong, it's like 5 minutes a day you do them. For the times when I'm really good at doing it, when I've been pretty good this year, I feel like it's like, you know, when your like abs are tight and you're like, I should wear a crop top. If that ever happens. But it's like, wow, I should have sex because those are the muscles that you can clench. It also helps to like do them while you're like want to have an orgasm. And I have like these explosive orgasms during intercourse now, which I never could before that easily.
I do Kegels. I think since you've been on our show, I've been doing Kegels more. It's like you should do your squats and stretch after you run. I do Kegels now when I'm just like chilling
in bed.
Is there a time of day?
It doesn't matter. You do it over your
I just did
time.
One.
I did one now, two. Yeah. Two.
I just did three.
You got to concentrate to do them.
You do.
It's almost like meditation, but for your Kegels.
Now I feel like I have to fart.
You can do whatever you want. There you go. Because we're super, super open to that.
Hi, I'm Grace Park.
So how long would you wait? So when you're with someone, like, would you wait to give like feedback about, like, would you say to him, I want to try the G-spot there I want?
I have had whole relationships with men where there was no feedback, which is how I know I'm in a different part of my life, because one instance of sex with one awesome person and, you know, doing a feedback session like we did after that, that was feedback. Amazing. But both of us were on the same page sexually.
That's the thing.
It's really hard to find a partner who's on the same page sexually.
And willing to be open. I think there's the before and the after and then the during. And I feel like everyone gets their mojo for these 10 to 20 minutes of like fucking. And then when you're done, it's like, I'm good. That was great. Let's get some food.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. You were just the other day I looked at my partner and I was like, put yourself inside of me. And then I was like, God, think about that. You put yourself inside of me like I am an alien ship and you are coming in to be docked.
It's
like,
so weird.
It's so interesting and weird. And then we both get to a place that our body feels like we need to release this tension and feel close and connected, which I think is so important.
Right.
And I just haven't, like Grace said, like once you've had that, now it's like
you can't
it opens
back.
The door.
You can't do that one night stand with Johnny McDubers.
Johnny McDubers.
Exactly. It's not the best sex of our lives. Let's be honest. Not that a one night stand can't be, but typically it's when you have the closeness or the intimacy and you know how to communicate, because that's the number one thing is being able to talk to your partner about sex and people. It's a skill you develop, but it gets better over time.
You just use the phrase best sex of our lives. I think that is what I am now in search of. And anything that's not going to be awesome sex does not.
I love it.
Does not
She's
matter.
She's like pounding on you like it's a declaration. No, it's true. No, that's why.
That's the age that I'm at now. I just don't want to settle for subpar shit sex.
No, right, and exactly. I think this.
I don't
everybody
need your garbage penis.
Yeah, like. Everyone deserves to feel good about their body and feels like they should be able to communicate with whoever, male, female, whatever, that they are getting and like their body's respect and they're getting what they need.
Yes.
And you just don't see that. It's even generationally, like I have people that are a little older than me that I'm like, oh, you are in something horrible.
Right.
Yeah. What do you guys do every night?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So how would you tell people, like, what do you think is the different? What would you tell your younger self, for example,
I think,
about sex?
You know,
Like last year.
In general, like you, well, for something I did tell myself was, you're not happy and this is going to be a hard road. And it's, you know, it's going to be a struggle because you're used to someone, but you know that that someone is not fulfilling you the way you need to be, you know, emotionally at times or physically at times. And you deserve that. You work really hard on yourself and there are other people out there that might be a better fit. Mm-hmm. And then you have that grace period of, oh, hi.
Grace Michelle Farr.
Hi. Where you're kind of like, fuck, what now? Yeah. And then there was just a few crazy nights, you know, a night where I hooked up with like a 23-year-old and it was like
in a bathtub.
Weird. And he like fingered me in a bathtub and I made him listen to oldies and he was like, all right. Listen to the Shirelles. They're great.
I thought oldies to him were like Nickelback. Yeah. Right. This guy.
Yeah. Right.
You got, you like Creed?
And then I kind of had this, like I was on a TV show and I hooked up with someone that had worked on the TV show and he was like big into sex parties. He was younger than me.
Okay.
That's another thing is I was married older and I, Grace and I spoke about this.
Just last
I
night,
now
yeah.
am only, I'm kind of into younger guys, not like 22 and they're like, right. what's a bike?
Wait, how old do you mind? You're 30, Grace is 34.
I'm 31.
31. Okay. 34. Mm-hmm. Okay. So now you're into younger, like.
Oh, like, you know, like 28 to 30. Okay. You know, yeah.
I'm how old were you when you got married?
I was, this was what, almost 2.5 years ago.
Oh, so as you got married. For like a year, you were married.
I was,
for...
I called off the wedding, the initial wedding. So I was with this person for almost 7 years. That is a sign. Guys, if you're doing it.
So hard to.
And it's hard to, well, you know what? It's hard to upset someone else that you care about.
Of course.
So a lot of people in life, for different reasons, stay with their partner and they shouldn't, but they're afraid to be that bad person. Mm-hmm. But you got to put yourself first.
Absolutely. So you pulled out of that one, the marriage.
Pulled out, and then I pulled out. And dumped back into another.
So now you've learned that when you're saying so, I get it.
Shop.
Because that's when I started, when I started the show, I was like, it was truly because I thought, I've not had the best sex in my life.
Yes.
And nobody's happy in their relationships. And I really just wanted to get some answers from people. And I started interviewing like this, sitting around a table, people, like all my friends, like how... What do you mean, like, you had 3 orgasms? Like, how did that happen? And how have you been happy? So that's why, like, I really want to know, like, what, and I have learned.
And that's why we're such big fans of you on the podcast, because it's all these conversations. I mean, you know how to get amazing stories out of people.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Let's hear more about your life. We came in and she already told me, which is such a, in radio, like, but you did tell me this great story when you walked in and I kind of can't get it out of my,
oh.
It was like a half a story, but I was like, tell me later.
Well, so I mentioned there were two moderately recent sexual experiences. One was great, squirty guy.
Squirty.
A plus.
Squirty reconnaissance after, we liked him. Okay.
Yep. And then there was another one and... This was just one of these nights that we're referencing that we don't want to have, where we're in search of good, awesome sex with somebody who we're intimate with, who we have connection with, who we feel like, you know, there's, we are both of a presence of mind to enjoy each other's bodies. Or you just go get bombed at a party. We're like, hey, you, I remember you. Yeah, we've been friends for like 8 years. Yeah, what's up? I don't know. You still single? Yeah, me too. Cool. Want 14 more drinks? Yeah, sure. And then they end up in your bedroom. You wake up the next morning. And literally, I woke up and I opened my eyes and I felt his presence next to me. And I went,
oh, no.
I audibly just went, because I couldn't believe. I thought that it was, so it was just, it was a drunken night. But here's the thing. As he was getting ready, as I was so hungover already, and I was just like, okay.
Also, what's adorable about Grace is Grace had 3 drinks and an olive for dinner.
Yeah, you were there.
That's how I am too. No, I get wasted too.
She was like, I was almost blackout. I was like, you had 3 drinks. I have like 7 drinks on a normal night.
I know. Anyway, everything was super consensual. Everything is, you know, I remember all the major things, but, what I don't remember was how the sex was, which was a problem because when he was getting dressed the next morning, I noticed that this man's penis went down to the middle of his thigh.
Wow.
I mean, it was huge.
It was like a Cro-Mag dick.
It was a Cro-Mag dick. It was like earlier on the evolutionary.
It's like, why wear boxers?
Wait,
why?
Hard or flaccid?
It was like just pseudo, semi. Yeah, semi.
With thin, skinny?
No, dude. No. It was like... It
a
was
Toll
like,
House
it was,
cookie log.
That's exactly what it was. It was a roll of Nestle cookie dough. And you would not... Yeah. And it was just... It was that long and it was that thick.
Was your vagina hurting? Like, when I've had a big potato cock, which is to me not as long as that, but like a... Like
girthy.
A, like a,
thick,
like
girthy.
A cocoa, like a cocoa yeah. can. A right. Coke can.
A cocoa can.
That's a Norwegian Coke.
But did your... pussy hurt?
The thing is I remember that there was some insertion, but I don't think we actually finished sex because we were both very drunk. So the next day it was a little sore, but not more. I've seen some sizable ones in my life, so I have some experience.
Right.
But yeah, so I don't know. Wasn't that sore? But I don't think he was jackhammering me all night.
Were you turned on? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I was. I was, but I was also really drunk and sloppy. So it wasn't. It was just. Oh, it was yeah. all bad.
Right.
It was yeah. all bad. And
did you get his number?
Have you talked to him? Emily would like his number.
Because literally, if you're not using him.
I think he lives in New York. Actually, that's I don't cool. know what else. I don't know. No, that was a situation where he left and I was like, oh, whatever. And then like
I don't even like Toll House cookie. Like,
oh, really? I love a cookie dough, though.
Yeah. I love
he,
it. Yeah.
He like 2 weeks later reached out to me.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh.
It was kind of dickish.
So what is this about now? You hook up with him. You back before Jen was in a really healthy, happy relationship with a guy talking about everything. And
he's
having
this
But I'm serious. Like, what is it with the guys that they circle back? Like, they always like, it was great. But then I'm going to wait 2 weeks and be like, hey.
Yeah, explain this.
Keep in the rotation.
They're at their house. They're horny. They're like, who do I have access to? And then they reach out.
When you
and
say
you
that,
you don't want to believe that. But that's the absolute fucking truth.
And that to me, and I think that probably that is in part true, but, and this is just me speaking as your best friend and because I know you well.
Can I be like the third baby best friend? Yeah. Like the understudy? Like,
of course there are people
I'm
out there.
I'm not saying it's cool.
No, I know. Yeah. I'm just saying, I guess, like, this is to all the partners out there that think this is okay. Hi. people like Grace and Emily, and there are a lot of people that like keep their shit tight, like their pussy and their body, but also their brain and their voice. Mm-hmm. And like, if you're going to just like sit and then 2 weeks later be like, oh yeah, Grace.
Yeah. I could use her sucking my dick
oh,
now.
Oh man, I got a hard on and KFC's closed. So I guess I'll call Grace. Fuck you, dude.
Yeah.
Not
exactly.
Even call.
Not even call. Yeah. Of course. No, I think it was a Facebook message.
Oh, Jesus.
Get like, the fuck
might
out.
Might as well MySpace it.
Get the fuck out. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Thank you for that message. I would say, you know, guys, girls can do that too, but I'm going to be fucking real. It's mostly guys that do that.
Yeah, definitely.
You just step up your game because like you're going to get there's a lot of like cool ass chicks out there and not like cool once you get to know them and they're good on the inside. No, whole package bitches that are like totally. Awesome and like don't have time for that shit.
And by the way, for the women out there listening, hi, don't not be a full package bitch just because you want to get laid more. Don't do it.
So explain to me how you think that women do that. How do women like sell themselves short by not being the full package bitch?
I've done this before.
Okay, so let's talk about little Grace, young Grace.
Well, you know, you asked a great question earlier about what advice she would give to me.
Yeah, ask yourself.
My advice would be you have to be vocal about what you want, and you cannot be afraid of getting out of a relationship. I waited too long in almost every relationship that I've been in to get out.
Mm-hmm. What do you think that is? Why do you think you didn't get out of them?
It was a lack of confidence on my part and thinking that I would never find somebody else or that it would take too long or that I was at my best when I was with somebody and being solo was a lesser version of myself, which is the exact opposite.
Yeah. Because you are the truest yourself. Yeah, I mean, you're the most truest to yourself. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. When you are focused on yourself, there is no one out there, no matter how amazing it starts or it is or how much they like you or you like them or vibe, that will give you and make you feel the way you can make yourself feel about yourself. And like being in something that for 7 years, like, I respect him, my ex. I think he's a nice person. But there were so many times that, like, I should have left that relationship. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's like, to get over that, too, and realize, okay, you're older now. Like, you learned, but you can't help but beat yourself up a little and go, fuck, man.
Right. Well, no, that is a good message. I mean, I think that a lot of us are afraid. It's fear. We're afraid we're going to be alone. Mm-hmm. We're afraid we're going to be abandoned, that no one else will love us, that this is the best thing that ever happened
to
us.
That's also society, because a man can get older, and it's just, and it can be like, no, it's not the same. No, fuck, it is the same. There is like some old school values here that go on where a man gets older, salt and pepper Clooney, and he's hot as hell. A woman gets older, and it's like, oh, what happened to Aunt Michelle?
I was.
Aunt Michelle and Uncle Tommy broke up.
She had all those men. Yeah. Now there's nobody.
I will say, speaking on that beat, I love an older man. I am the opposite of Jen. This is another thing we talked about this yesterday.
Why am I gravitating towards younger men and Grace is gravitating towards older men?
Okay. I mean, I like Daddy? Like crypt keeper style, one foot in the grave. No, not that. Not that one. I love an older man.
Like, you guys go play bingo?
Sure. We go to bed at 9 p.m. Oh, yeah. God, I love
it. I always do a little older, my age or a little older, except for this year I did a little younger. But I typically... Yeah.
How much younger?
8 years.
Oh.
That's good.
That's a substantial amount.
I know, right? Yeah. And it was too young.
You're just, they're not there yet. They're
not there yet.
You can't even be like...
I love that nothing there.
Yeah.
You get to a certain point in your life. Some guys get there, some guys don't. Yeah. Some women get there, some women don't. Yeah. Are you looking
for something serious?
No, I'm looking. I'm like, I like where I'm at now. I feel like I'm in something I can trust and I feel committed in. Mm-hmm. But
she's
I might get ready to squirt. The sex is great. I feel supported because it's probably piss. But I think right now I'm just focusing on being the healthiest version of myself, physically, mentally. And if someone stays along for that ride, then they'll get a great ride because I'm pretty fucking cool.
You guys are rad.
Like somebody younger is just because you're having fun, maybe they're a lot more fun and have more energy.
They
to
are.
Do
now
things.
I'm going to tell you that. Like in this, I don't want to go too deep, but like my ex was older and he was an older.
How much older?
10 years. But you know, 10 years when I feel like I'm like a little firecracker,
you need to.
I'm a firecracker.
Yeah, you know that's how firecrackers sound. Boop boop. So I think I do gravitate towards someone that's like, come on, yeah, let's fucking go to a dive bar. Yeah. But he's also professional, so it's not like let's go to a dive bar and let's try this cocaine at 2 p.m. on a Tuesday.
And he also likes what you do. I've had many experiences actually with younger men who just got envious of what I was doing with my career and were not supportive and took that out on me in really shitty ways. Yeah. Or even guys who are like my age or a little bit older. I'm not gonna fuck with that anymore.
Right.
If you don't A, support me, and B, have your own shit going on that I respect the shit out of, it's done. It's
the hustle's
already done.
There. I don't want you to be a dick, right. But I want you to have hustle.
Right. You want to be driven and passionate about something in your life. Hopefully it's your job and you've had some success in the sense of just you know who you are, you're not in that soul searching.
Exactly.
Like doing coke till 2 a.m. at the dive bar and I don't really have a job. But it's
Emily
hot.
Always asks questions like, oh, what's the most sexiest word? And I say employed. Because I definitely want to date somebody that has their own thing going on.
Completely.
You know?
Like, that's exactly
I don't
it.
Need to be your focus.
No.
I need you going to do your thing.
Needy.
And then we have fun together. Yeah.
I agree.
Exactly. And that's why older men to me, at least in my experience, older men are not exclusively, but a lot of older men, the ones that I'm attracted to, are very well established in their careers.
And how much older than you, would you say? Because you're 31.
I mean, there was a guy who's 20 years older than me.
Guys in their 50s are hot.
And,
I'm telling you.
And I'm really, I am very attracted to him. And in a lot of different ways. Physically, absolutely. What he does, absolutely. Just his personality, all of it there. I find that very attractive in men across the board.
Divorced?
It's true.
Yeah,
shows you can commit. It shows that they like can be in a relationship and they want to. And
that's a great way to look at it. Because I was like,
not a failure, your divorce.
Yeah, I don't think it's a failure. I think that not everyone thinks that way. Right. So when I got back in the dating scene, I was like, yeah, I'm divorced or I'm going through a divorce. And I was like, no big deal, pass the pickles. Because, you know, we always eat at a pickle restaurant.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Always.
But then I also have to think about my partner who I might be seeing that, like, that might be something to them. Because everyone looks at divorce.
Exactly. It's so true. It could be true. People think, oh, she's failed. But to me, I was looking at it as like, well, good. This is a guy who or a woman who is actually wants a relationship. They know how to do it. They've made the commitment and they tried. So, like,
oh, but I have a question for all of you guys. But okay, well, along the divorce men beat, it seems like there are two paths for the divorced man. There's either the guy who is like, nope, done with marriage, never going to do it again, confirmed bachelor. And there's the guy who is like, yeah, that one didn't work out, but I love marriage. And 9 months later, they're in something else. Is that true? Does it feel
I've seen both of those, yes. And also when they have kids, too, they kind of want it. Like sometimes they want like a step parent, someone to help them raise the kids.
Right.
I have seen both of those things. I've seen
is
people
there
who
a third
just...
alt that I'm missing? Because it seems like those are the only two directions.
There's the like just... divorce. I think that they sleep
this
around
like
a lot and then
guy,
eventually
guy.
They want to get married. I guess it's all kind of a variation of the same thing.
Like my dad, he's his second time he's been divorced, and I think that he would get married again if the right person came along.
I think that a lot of men, like typically it's the women who leave the marriage, most relationships and marriage. And I think that men more so they do like it once they're in it and they kind of don't want to be alone. And the women don't want to be alone either. I'm just saying, but this is not a general stereotype, but studies are showing that women are the ones who leave where the men are kind of like, I was kind of like, it wasn't amazing, but like, I got a blowjob 3 times a week and we like went to dinner and
that is not
Netflix.
Enough. There are certain, I mean, I think women are just evolving and that is not enough for us. Like,
not enough.
It's if I'm not challenged or I'm not feeling respected or not feeling heard.
Yeah.
No.
See, and I love that you're saying that because it's such a strong message because there's a lot of women who don't even know what it's like to feel valued or heard in a relationship or respected.
Yes.
They don't even know that that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. And so, like, for me, like, that's a deal. Like, if you don't respect ever for a second, like say something mean or hurtful or it's like you're out, like, not a chance. You don't get a second chance.
No, you don't get a second chance.
Disrespectful. And I just want women everywhere just to, like, realize, like, that's... That's
don't be afraid to be
treated.
Alone. Don't be afraid
being
to be
alone is the best work you can do, and I'm not just talking about masturbation.
Yeah.
We're going to get on to some emails, but first, a quick shout out to our sponsors. We love them. If you've listened to the show the last couple months, you've probably heard me talk about a unique product called the Womanizer. A while back, the owners of the company asked if they could send me one to test out, which, of course, you know me, I agreed to it. I own and review a lot of toys, and I was fairly confident I've tried every category product around. But I was wrong. The Womanizer was designed in Germany, and unlike anything else on the market, it indirectly stimulates the clitoris using suction. It's kind of like a sexy ear thermometer. It has a silicone cylinder on the face that you place over your clitoris, kind of like how a partner might use their mouth. And while it's on, you can vary the suction and move it around to create an amazingly intense experience. In fact, most women in their focus group achieve orgasm in 1 minute. That's right, a 60-second orgasm. You can just knock it out if you want. So I tried the Womanizer, and they weren't kidding. It's amazing. The suction is adjustable, and you can position it to create so many different sensations. The Womanizer is really in a category of its own, and I suggest you check it out for yourself. Go to sexwithemily.com and click on the Womanizer banner for more information. Okay, now we're on to emails. Thanks for emailing me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. We love hearing from you, and we love even more when you include your age, where you live, how you listen, and what else, Menace? Where you live, how you listen, your age, and
your location.
Your location. We said that. But that's good. But the age thing bothers me lately. People don't give me your age, and I'm like, you're the best. It's the most, the love of your life just left you. Are you 18 or are you 56? True. Like, I need to know. Okay. Hello, Emily. I've recently started listening to your podcast all the way from Rome, Italy. Now I am reaching out for some relationship advice. To summarize, I was married and lived in Canada, but moved to Rome for work with the overwhelming support of my husband. After a few weeks, everything fell apart. He confessed he'd been seeing someone from work for months.
No.
The marriage was over. The way it ended that still haunts me a little, but I'm trying to work up to letting all the hurt go. Fast forward to today, I'm in love with this beautiful Italian. He is kind, generous, hardworking. We have been together for about 1 year and move in together in a few weeks. We travel cool. Well. We've met each other's families. We want kids. And the sex keeps on getting hotter and hotter.
Mm.
But here's the thing that's bothering
me. There's always a but.
But he won't add me on Facebook. His rationale is that if he likes a picture, of another girl, I'll be jealous and that will cause an issue between us. In fact, I'm okay without being Facebook friends or Facebook official. Mm-hmm. If he wants to like a picture of some girl, he can go ahead. What I do not like is his attitude about this issue. I feel it's shady. Mm-hmm. Of course, he's offended. I would even suggest such a thing. We're at the point now where I can't bring it up again. He wants me to let it go and move on. I see it hurts him and he doesn't have my complete trust. It's so confusing. Am I being oversensitive given my past because her husband cheated on her? Should I be concerned? Am I naive if I let go? There's so many good things about a relationship, but this issue makes me question it. Advice, Sarah.
Yeah.
I read this and I was like bubbling. I mean,
Facebook
this
drama.
Is trust. I mean, but this is trust.
That's
just
it's trust. That every, is the much whole time bigger you're saying it, Facebook. It's not about that. Yeah. It's nothing to do with Facebook. That
nothing.
Is just that's the thing it's hiding behind for this month. But it's not going to go away. There are trust issues that she has to get over within herself. She has to integrate what happened in her past, learn from it before she can move on and be in a healthy relationship in her future. By being secure, or as secure as we can be, because we're all a little insecure, but to be secure enough to love again and to accept someone's good and bad. Because I don't think it's that big of a deal, honestly. Like,
right, it's not about Facebook.
Yeah. It's about you're
Sarah,
being shady.
Great email, by the way, first of all. But,
right?
But that would drive me nuts, because like you just mentioned, Jen, it's not just about Facebook. That's the thing this month. But guess what? There's 4 million apps out there. I want to know if she can look at his phone.
Right.
What about his text messages? What about his Snapchat, his Twitter? I mean, that's just all these
exactly his Bumble account. How does he feel about that?
Or like a private journal, or what? There's clearly stuff that she does not know about his life that she wants access to.
And
that
that's
he's
because
not giving
she's
her
scarred
access
from her
to.
Last relationship. Because I think that people can have their own private truths that they kind of have that their own. Like if I have a journal, I prefer nobody look at my journal.
Sure.
If I have my text messages, let me give you permission, or maybe not give you permission. It doesn't mean I'm like text fucking somebody, but I have my own life, you know. And so there's also like bleeding boundaries and setting boundaries of what you want to merge and what you don't. And I think that's getting blurred because she is hurt from a past relationship.
What do you think, Emily?
No, I think that, I think there's so many things. I think that she definitely needs to heal and move on because she's been through trauma. She's in a foreign country and met a hot, sexy Italian and moved in with him.
Sounds
I'm
like
sure he's amazing. Yeah. I'm sure he's making her feel
starring
great.
Diane Lane.
You know, I'm sure all these stuff. But what I see here is either he's making assumptions about her like he's already judging her on his past girlfriends who probably got really jealous about things, or he's distrustful. So either way, it's really bad because he's just judging her, not giving her the benefit of the doubt that maybe she doesn't care and not online all day that you're, you know, liking girls' photos. And he's also just setting it up for, like, I think, you know, also that for failure, because he's probably, a lot of times when people are making the assumptions and pointing fingers, they're the ones who are actually got something exactly. going on the side.
The he's shutdown
jerking
of communi-
off on Facebook
the
Live.
The well, shutdown of communication. Mm-hmm. The thing that when he said, I think he said in the email, she said, he doesn't want to talk about it anymore. We're not allowed to talk about it anymore. Who the fuck says we're not allowed to talk about it anymore?
Yeah. Fuck
this
you.
Isn't team you, and then I'm a little side person, and you give me a jersey.
Yeah.
No, I want to talk about it, because if you're not meeting my needs, then turn the pizza in. I'm going back to Canada.
Yeah, exactly. Game over. I mean, it pisses me off, because also he came in, she's vulnerable, the whole thing. So fuck, that's
I don't like
how
it.
I feel.
It sucks because everything's going on the right path to like move in with each other and stuff like that.
Right, I was about to send flowers, and then all of a sudden.
Fucking weird. That
that's a red flag.
You don't want to add me on Facebook, and we're in a relationship over a year.
Yeah. Moving in and like sharing dishes and stuff. Yeah.
It's incredible that it's gone on for a year. I would have been like, oh, this is too weird. I'm out.
I think it was like her, you know, getting over the husband thing, but she's got to move on and work on herself. I'm telling you that it's very hard to do though, because when you get out of a relationship, you naturally want comfort from
you're accustomed
else.
To being with a
and
partner.
You want someone to make you feel good, because we don't want to feel that pain, but like it'll always be there unless you just spend that time alone figuring out. Unwinding it, like what went wrong. Like
you have to do that.
It.
That is the best thing that you've
ever.
You have to feel
best
that
thing I've
pain.
Said ever.
No, but you have to feel that pain. Like
you
I
have
think
to. It's we run
you don't
from
want
it.
To. Why? That's why
because
people
it's
jump.
Your pain. You cannot
can't
rely
push it on anybody
on happiness
else. Yeah.
To be bestowed upon you by somebody else.
Exactly.
And when you search for a relationship so soon after ending another one, it's because you have not given yourself time to heal, and because you don't trust yourself enough to be able to get out of this rut yourself. You have to. Have to, or else you're just going to be reliant on somebody else
so
forever.
True. Okay, we have time for one more. Emily, I just started listening to your show last month, and I can't stop listening. I have already put into practice your advice from previous shows to start talking to people and getting out of my comfort zone. It has completely brought me out of my shell. My question is this. I'm in the age-old situation of being interested in a fellow coworker. The thing is, I'm not the one who made the first move. She was. We were at a going-away party at the office, and she made a funny comment about my height. I'm over 6 feet. I was quick enough to follow it up, and we started talking for a bit. We talked a bit more since. I've even started eating lunch with her and some other people. Little things she says and does makes me think she's interested in me. For example, asking me questions about myself, sharing personal space in my cubicle. It sounds like she's like sitting on his lap or something. How do you share space
it's
in a cubicle?
Cubicle?
It's a cubicle, for Christ's sake. Mentioning she has an ex. That's another thing. It's been going on for about a week. And I'm afraid if I don't make a move soon, it might slip away. The problem is my job has a policy against dating in the office. Should I suggest something casual like a drink after work? I'm unsure of how to proceed without it seeming weird, causing tension in the workplace. I have little to no experience dating and only theory from what I've heard on your podcast. Thanks for the hours of the juicy info. Ben, male, 26, Boston, Massachusetts.
If he sounds hot.
But also, if you are just like putting on, taking off the training wheels on dating and getting social, maybe you not want to shit where you work.
I completely agree. I would say you got to let it burn. It's been a week.
Yeah.
It's
been a week.
Yeah. Also, maybe go for a few runs. Go for a few runs around the bar and like, you know, maybe get a little more in tune with who you are and what you want dating wise before you drop a bomb on Natalie, your coworker.
Here's what I hear. I hear a guy, is over 6 feet tall and he has a job. You'll be able to find somebody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, some girl who like might have leaned over you and hit you in her with her breast because she was grabbing a pen or something.
Now, I will say having workplace crushes is great. It's great ammo to come in every day and I need to get a workplace crush. I don't have one now. Sorry, everybody.
Really?
Nightly
I think
show.
You will.
Oh, maybe. We'll see. It's really nice. In the past when I've had workplace crushes, it's lovely to go into work and have
but
that little
also,
somebody.
It can also blur and overly dictate your work life, which
exactly.
I think is the other way. Is then if it goes bad, so Ben, is his name Ben? So this goes good. You have a few good night kisses and then it ends poorly. Now, you've tainted your workplace and your work focus. Be prepared for that. I don't know if you know.
And there's a rule. They actually have that policy in place.
Yeah,
you can get fired.
Sucks.
So,
I mean, like, I'm not anti, I don't know. I never had a bad experience and I've dated a lot of people.
Most
in my
of
workplace.
Everyone he's dating.
Because I work
so
much. I'm like, oh, they're right there.
Yeah, no, right.
And I haven't had a bad experience with that. But I haven't had a workplace where there's a rule where you can't do that.
Right.
You know,
there's a lot of things working against him here.
That's the situation where it's like, if that's going to happen at some point in your lives, it's going to happen. Let it happen naturally. Don't push it. I say go find other ladies. Right. And in the meantime, keep developing that friendship and see what happens.
Exactly. She might have some cute friends.
And you're 6 foot.
And Ben, I love that you're learning and you're putting this stuff into practice. Because I always tell guys, like, what guy isn't nervous? Like, if you haven't been out there dating? Some guys aren't naturally conversationalists, but... It's like everything else in life, it's practice.
Yeah,
so
and I think that's
talking
think
to three women a day.
It's unfair for men at times because they're held up to this pedestal of like, be cool. You know what? I'm cool, dude. I'm awesome. I don't give a shit. This is who I am. And it's like, calm down, buddy.
Yeah,
you can also, you know what I mean? It's okay to, you know, maybe not even if it's like, it's okay to cry, but it's okay to show emotion and be social and have feelings, you know? So good job, Ben. Just
I like Ben.
I like Ben too. It's really cool.
We all
want
to sleep with you. So if that makes you feel better.
Ben, yeah.
But we can't.
Ben, buy a ticket.
Buy a ticket, yo.
Flying to Burbank, not LAX.
Exactly. Burbank's the worst. I mean, Burbank's the best.
Yeah.
Flying out tomorrow. Okay. You girls are the best.
Oh.
Grace and Jen. You guys, I love you guys. You really, and I'm so proud of you. Every time I see you guys are like doing so many more amazing things each time. So Grace, and tell people can find you.
Oh, yes. You can find, I'm on the Nightly Show on Comedy Central. We have shows Monday through Thursday, new shows Monday through Thursday, and we're on Monday through Friday every week. And you can find me on Twitter and Snapchat at GracePar360 and on Instagram at GracePar360 as well.
Okay. And then the Lady Freak stuff. You'll get into this, Jen, too.
So hi, Jen. I'm Jen Bartels, everybody. And you can find me on the Twitter, the Snapchat, and the Instagram at Jen B. Giggles. I know it sounds dumb, but I didn't think it'd take off. Yeah. So just go. I don't know.
Jen B. Giggles, though, as you can remember.
Right? But I mean, listen to me. Do I sound like I giggle? No. I snarl and I
make us giggle.
Thank you.
I giggled a lot.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. And so you can follow us with LadyFreakComedy.com. We have new bi-coastal shows at least once a month, whether it's in New York or LA, and we're looking to expand.
Yes.
You can also see us at the Out of Bounds Comedy Festival this September, and look out for some new stuff I'm working on that I can't really talk about. But good stuff.
You guys are killing it. That's amazing. Thank you for being here.
Thank you guys so much. This is a delight, as
so
always.
Fun.
So much fun.
Thank you. Menace, what are you? You're doing a lot of things, changing the world.
Yeah, just go to Menace on Instagram and
Twitter. Are you changing something? Aren't you doing something important?
I'll talk about that later.
Fine. He's not even that important.
I've been doing a lot of charity stuff. I'm like super into it now.
I know. He's like a charity. He's getting to that stage in his life. That's sexy.
That's awesome.
That's hot. I almost think you're super sexy right now. No, I actually do think you're sexy. And you know, people have been telling me lately they think you're sexy, Menace.
I don't know why.
It's weird. I know.
Because I'm at my worst.
No, you're amazing. Yeah. I love you. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much, producer Madison. Thank you, Lori. Thank you, Jamie, the amazing Sex with Emily team. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Was it good for you? Email me, feedback@sexwithemily.com. Okay, guys, listen to me. I know some of you tune out every time you hear me talk about Kegel exercises. Well, guess what? You're making a mistake. Kegel exercises are not just for women. Try something for me now, guys. Tighten up the muscles you'd use if you wanted to stop the flow of urine. Congratulations! You just did a Kegel exercise. And doing these regularly can make an impact on your sex life. Kegel exercises can help you have stronger erections, better stamina, and more intense orgasms. You'll be blown away, literally, by the difference Kegels can make in your life. To make Kegel exercises that much easier to get into, I created Kegel Camp. It's an app that trains you, reminds you, and tracks your progress along the path to Kegels of Steel. And because I know you're competitive, I created 20 levels of intensity for you to work through. So, you up for the challenge, guys? Download Kegel Camp from your iPhone today and tell me about your progress at feedback@sexwithemily.com. You can get Kegel Camp from the iTunes store or by going to sexwithemily.com and clicking on the Kegel Camp banner. See you at camp.